You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
In an age whose character one sociologist has described as celebration of the individual, many families have turned into just a collection of strangers living at the same address.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by Dr. Oswald Hoffman, Lutheran Hour speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
Lord God, you have set the whole world in families. In your kindness, give us the love of Christ to grow our families in the climate of love. Lead us by your gracious hand to forgive one another as you have forgiven all for the sake of your Son, Jesus. Light within our families the fire of faith in you, that trusting you we may learn to live with one another in love, and be willing to bring sacrifices for the good of all, even as your Son offered himself for us, a sacrifice with the most pleasant fragrance for us all. In his name we pray. Amen. Growing a family is God's way not only of populating the world, but of giving the world a population learning to live. Drawing upon the family, St. Paul gave people an idea of what it means really to live. Be imitators of God, he said, as beloved children, and have your way of life in love, just as Christ also loved us and gave himself in our behalf, as an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling fragrance. In reverence to Christ, be attentive to one another. Right away I can hear somebody say, that leaves me out. I'm single. I'm not married. I don't have a family. I live alone, and I don't have anybody to take care of me. So why should I pay attention to anyone else? Most of us have some people, unless we're hermits in the wilderness, studiously avoiding contact with anyone else, who fill the role of family in our lives. There are people who care, and probably need care themselves. They're relatives, friends, and others who are involved in our lives. They surround us, and often without much recognition, give us support in our lives. They are there, even though they don't receive much encouragement from us. Throughout the Scriptures, God is described as a father, a disciplining father, a caring father, a loving father. He's there, even though his children very often do not care to have him around. They complain that they have to make it on their own. Most of the time, they don't do a very good job of that. They claim to be self-made people. If that's what they are, they ought to be recalled to the factory. One of the chief problems of humanity is that it fails to grow. If people do not grow, they become lemons, in much the same way as a product that does not work properly. The world is filled with lemons, people who never grew up. They look good on the outside, but are bitter on the inside. A little lemon goes a long way, and then it doesn't get very far at that. St. Paul is talking about a fruit that goes a long way. It has a sweet-smelling fragrance that is pleasing not only to the eye, but also to the taste. It even has a good smell. It ripens under the sunshine of God's favor, a product that is attractive and beneficial to the whole world. It is the fruit of a family that grows and continues to grow, absorbing the grace of God, which produces a fruit all its own. St. Paul was always talking about the grace of God. He saw that grace in Jesus Christ, whom he met personally on the Damascus Road. Paul himself was a bitter lemon, seeking his own advancement and satisfaction. He turned around that day, through the grace of God, into a handsome fruit, tenderly bringing to the ills of humanity the healing power of God himself. The tender touch of God is in the cross of Jesus Christ. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, said Paul to people who wondered what the cross of Christ meant for them. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. There's a tartness to the love of God, you see, in the face of Jesus Christ. It is the tartness of life itself, made bitter and even foul-smelling by human sin, which often looks so attractive and delivers only death. There's a bitterness in death, no matter how you look at it. Jesus Christ died for us all. He died for you. He took the bitterness of death in your place. He loved you enough to give himself in your behalf, offering a sacrifice to God, the sweet-smelling savor of which appeals to God himself. Jesus died once, the just for the unjust, to bring you to God. That's the meaning of the cross of Jesus Christ. It's for you, as it is for me and for everyone, atonement for sin, a bitter pill swallowed by the Son of God to give new life and a new love, growing a new fruit with a new and attractive fragrance, replacing the old bitterness and the foul odor it produces. Be imitators of God, urged St. Paul upon people who had heard the good news of Jesus Christ. As beloved children, have a new way of life in love, just as Christ also loved us and offered himself in our behalf as an offering and sacrifice to God, producing a new and beautiful fragrance. Children, that's the key word. Children of God. Children of God can be expected to act as sons and daughters in the family of God. Good families don't grow like weeds. They are grown with care and consideration of parents and grandparents. Weeds just grow and eventually die. Flowers have to be grown with love, tilling the soil, feeding the roots, killing the suckers, developing new species and new colors, pleasing and attractive and fragrant. God himself has set the world in families. He expects a lot of families, more than they often expect of themselves. Every baby is precious to God. He expects every family to help that baby to grow, to show the love and consideration that growing anything demands. The first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, has to do mostly with growing families. It reads almost like a modern TV soap opera. Many problems of that day sound like the family problems of today. Right at the start, Adam blames Eve for what he did wrong. In the very next chapter, Adam and Eve's son Cain becomes furious with another son, Abel, and Cain kills his brother. Later on, the servants of Abraham and Lot fight over the large spreads of land on which their cattle graze. Abraham generously offers his nephew, Lot, the choice of whatever parcels of land he wishes. And greedy Lot chooses, of course, the best places. Next, Abraham and his wife, Sarah, have trouble having children, so Abraham has a son by a maid. A couple of generations later, there's a fierce rivalry between brothers Esau and Jacob. Jacob and his mother Rebekah trick Esau out of his most valued birthright, and Esau hatefully pursues Jacob. Esau's two wives make life miserable for his parents, Isaac and Rebekah, creating a real in-law problem. Laban, Jacob's uncle, switches brides on Jacob so that he marries the wrong girl, Leah. Jacob goes on to marry his second wife, Rachel, the girl he wanted in the first place. Reuben, Jacob's oldest son, has an affair with one of Jacob's girlfriends. Another son of Jacob, Joseph, infuriates his brothers with what the brothers perceive as bragging, so they set out to kill him. I can just hear somebody say, well, if they couldn't do any better than that in the Bible, what can you expect of us today? The reply of God is, I wouldn't expect anything different if I were not God. You have to admire the patience of God for the human family. He keeps working to get things together. He keeps loving to keep them together. He expects people to grow real families, caring, loving, and trusting in Him. Children can be expected to reverence, love, and trust their earthly parents. Why not God? Respecting, loving, and trusting God, parents get the idea very quickly that they earn the respect of their children, along with their love and trust, by nurturing the family. Nurture is the most important part of family life. It refuses to be either permissive or oppressive. It is dedicated to helping children grow up to be responsible citizens not only of heaven, but also of earth. That calls for a lot of love and consideration, the kind of love which St. Paul said is born at the foot of Christ's cross. He gave himself as an offering and sacrifice, a mighty, wonderful fragrance. He did that out of love. What the world needs is that same kind of love, willing to offer and sacrifice. Growing families that count, instead of discounting God and miscounting everything else in the bargain. Not discounting love, the book of Genesis emphasizes the love of God for people, growing families that count. Adam and Eve continued to love one another and lived together many, many years. Abraham kept on loving his nephew Lot, no matter how greedy and inconsiderate Lot proved to be. Abraham was a good father to his son Isaac, who came to him and his wife Sarah when Abraham was 90 years old. Esau and Jacob, after years of hostility, were reconciled and threw their arms around each other, kissing and hugging each other. Joseph, sold by his brothers into slavery, forgave them and fed the whole family in a great famine when he had the governmental authority to kill them and get even. All the time, God was growing a family. How many people these days do not think family at all? They think only about being individuals. Individualism has become almost a modern craze. People think about their own individual freedom without much thought about the freedom and growth of others. Husbands become self-satisfied bores, and wives yearn only for the day when they will be free of the burden of their children. When that day comes, both husbands and wives often find they have nothing left to live for, long ago having abdicated their responsibility to grow a family. The children grew up as weeds, and weeds is what the parents got. In an age whose character one sociologist has described as celebration of the individual, many families have turned into just a collection of strangers living at the same address. No wonder families are in trouble. No wonder people are hurting. There must have been a lot of that in the Roman Empire, since St. Paul talked to new Christians who might have been having trouble themselves, breaking out of the family snake pit which so often characterizes a world without God. Since you are God's dear children, he said, you must be controlled by love, just as Christ loved us and gave his life for us, as a sweet-smelling offering and sacrifice that pleases God. Because of your reverence for Christ, pay attention to one another. The problem may be complex, but the solution in this case is simple. It may take time, but it is direct and straightforward. You have to begin somewhere, and this is the place to begin. Begin with love. That's how God begins to solve the human problem, even though a lot of people simply cannot understand how he could begin that way. Things have gone just too far, they feel, for God to love. There must be a more drastic solution to the human problem than that. Truly, God's love worked in a drastic way. He sent his son, and his son gave his life. for the life of the world. His arms were stretched out on a cross surrounded by the bitterness of humanity. That son's offering and sacrifice impressed God himself with the wonderful fragrance of love. Now, you people who have seen the cross of Christ, said Paul, you know the love of God that passes knowledge. His love is beyond comprehension, but it is real. You're a son or daughter of God in his family by faith in Jesus Christ. Because of your reverence for Christ, be attentive to one another. Love is the tender touch of attention. Love keeps in touch. If people do not have contact with one another, they drift apart. Friendship and family feeling wilt. After a while, people have nothing to talk about. Most marriages die of neglect. Husband and wife take each other for granted. Parents and children take each other for granted. People quarrel with one another just to get attention. A father was reading his newspaper one day. His little girl was tugging at him to get his attention. The father was so busy reading all the stories in the newspaper that he paid no attention at all. Finally, the father said impatiently, "What do you want?" The little girl showed him a scratch on her finger. He said, "I can't do anything about that." The little girl said, "But you could say, ooh. Little failures have big consequences. Little inattention often results in great alienation. Children who don't get any attention have been known to do all kinds of foolish things. Sometimes they do disruptive and destructive things. For that, everybody pays a high price. Some land in jail. Love is not mere intention. It gives attention. Why do people like picnics anyway? Because of the food? Bologna sandwiches with the ants crawling all over them? Or is it that people gathered around a picnic table pay attention to one another when they often pay no attention at home? Nurture is important in growing a family, especially the nourishment of praise. It shows attentiveness. One of my friends, who has been a good pastor, always emphasizes the discouragement of negativism in the family and the encouragement of praise in the family. Some parents, he says, sound like a broken record. You didn't take out the garbage. You didn't do the dishes. You didn't study. You didn't pick up your clothes. You didn't clean up your room. Children keep telling their parents, "You don't understand. You're not fair. You never let me do this. You never let me go there." There are times, of course, when you do people in the family a favor by calling attention to their failures and mistakes. But constant fault-finding diminishes a person. Honest encouragement, on the other hand, builds up self-confidence and self-esteem. It makes children feel that they are loved. Sincere praise from children makes parents feel that they are loved. Growing a family calls for constant adjustment, compromise, sacrifice, and forgiveness. It is the way of love. Love covers the multitude of sins. I'm persuaded that such love comes straight from the heart of God. It's God's way of dealing with us. And it must become our way of dealing with one another. It's all part of a package. The love of Christ, which is the love of God himself, flowing from Christ's cross into the hearts of people as they put their trust in him, accepting his forgiveness freely given and freely offering forgiveness even at the expense of great sacrifice. If forgiveness is at the heart of God's attentiveness to you, be attentive to one another, to your family and friends, forgiving as God, for the sake of Christ, has forgiven you. Out of your reverence for Christ, be attentive to one another. It's a worthwhile offering to God, a sacrifice beneficial to you, your family, the whole community, your nation, and the world. It's a wonderful fragrance for a selfish world, usually satisfied with itself, eager to serve its own interests, and inattentive to the interests of others. Love from God and love toward God in your family contributes to genuine life, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Out of reverence for Christ, be attentive to one another. Amen.